Hello everyone and welcome to The Mix. I am Caleb Graham. Today is Friday. Happy Friday. It is the 18th of August, 2017. It was hotter today than earlier in the week. Oh my gosh, it was so hot. I can only say I'm ready for cooler weather. I am ready for cooler weather. Hey, so it's still quite a sad day for me. However, I have always been one to encourage people to continue on, and so that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue on. You know, things happen in the world every day. A lot of them we hear about, and a lot of them we don't, in the forms of, you know, terrorist attacks and hatred and violence for one reason or another. And, you know, I chose not to do a show yesterday because I was just kind of down. I wanted to spend time with friends and family and just kind of recoup from the day's news and everything that we saw unfold on television. So we're moving on, we're continuing on, and we're not going to let any of that stop us, not going to let any of that stop me, and I am bringing you The Mix right here on Anchor. You know, I do want to talk about these terrorist attacks, though, as part of the news for today before we move on. You know, there's just been a lot going on, and I want to make sure that people understand that it's okay to be upset, and it's okay to be nervous, and it's okay to be scared, but don't let it take over your life. That's my personal opinion on it, because when you do that, it gives these people power. It gives them what they want. And, you know, it's a terrible tragedy. This morning on CBS this morning, I don't know if any of these things have changed. I haven't had a chance to really keep up with much of it today. But in total, of all the people that passed away or were injured, there were 24 countries represented. And this is just the Barcelona attack. 14 dead, 100 plus injured, 5 suspects killed, 2 in custody, 8 people they think were involved in this terrorist cell, and that they were planning, it appears that they were planning a gas attack, and that's what was blown up in the house that exploded the night before the first attack. And then we had this other attack over in Spain that was with a car and a gun, and there's just so much going on over there, and they have come to find out that it looks like it was all part of a bigger picture, a bigger plot, but they feel like that it's more than just ISIS involved, you know, and it's more than an inspired by ISIS kind of thing. Like, these people have been working on this for a while, but just the video footage of the bodies that you see lying around on the road and the sidewalks, and it just went on and on and on. It's heartbreaking. It's hard to watch. And then we have this stabbing in Finland today that has killed 2 people and left 6 people hurt. You know, the suspect is in custody. They shot him in the thigh. which, if I could backtrack for a second, that's one of the things, if you could try to come up with positives about these attacks, the positive is that they actually have some of the suspects in custody and that they were not gunned down or killed in the attack themselves, which is, for the most part, unusual, because in most of these attacks, you see people, they either cause the attack by blowing themselves up and they lose their own life as well as all the other people that are murdered. But in these particular ones, that didn't happen. So it kind of, in my mind, helps the investigation, because now they can talk to these people, they can interrogate these people, find out what their motives were and such. So, but in Finland, going back to that, the suspect that was shot actually is in the hospital in police custody, being treated for his wounds that he got from the police officers. There is an investigation underway. Security has been heightened all across Finland, as well as in Spain, and hopefully in everywhere across the globe, because you just never know when these things are going to happen. But I just would like to encourage everyone to keep a positive outlook. It's so hard with all the stuff that we've gone through the past few days in our world, and continue to go through every day in other parts of the country, just to be vigilant. And like they always say, if you see something, say something. You know, unfortunately, we can't live in a carefree world, so we have to be smart. And having said that, I'm going to move on to our next topic. Fox News is reporting that some remains found by Dave Holloway and a private investigator have been declared human and are being DNA tested to determine if they are the remains of his daughter, Natalie Holloway. It has been 12 years, but we all know the story of Natalie Holloway. She was the young girl who disappeared in Aruba in 2005 while she was on a high school graduation trip, and there have been so many back and forth things with this situation over the past 12 years. It's completely impossible to keep up with it without going through and reading articles and articles and articles. But though this could finally lead to some closure for the family of Natalie Holloway, her father doesn't have the most positive outlook. He said, quote, "You always have your doubts. I put myself in a position where there could be great disappointment. I was so defensive about getting hurt or even testing. And so when the test came back and showed they were human remains, I was shocked." He also added, quote, "We've chased a lot of leads and you have your hopes up, but when they fall through, you basically go to a funeral over and over again." So, you know, it's a big risk doing things like this. You never really know. It could be anything or anyone. But I know personally, I have seen this. I remember when this happened. I've watched it in the news continuously over the past 12 years. It's one of those stories that you just can't seem to get enough of as long as it's ongoing. So my hopes and prayers have always been with her family, and hopefully maybe this time they'll get the closure that they need. We'll keep you updated on this and more news coming up here on The Mix. To some lighter topics. American Idol arrived here in Florida yesterday and had a round of auditions at Disney Springs at Walt Disney World. I couldn't go sadly because I am too old now, being the age of 29. The cutoff for this reboot was 28, so I was not able to go. But either way, I'm excited that ABC has picked up the show. I am interested to see how the rest of the judging panel will play out. I'm interested to see if they do anything different with the show, if the format's going to be the same, or if they're going to add some new things to it and make it, you know, fresh and new. ABC usually does things like that when they take something, so hopefully it'll be fun. I'm also interested to see if they do the show in Los Angeles or in New York now that Ryan Seacrest has, you know, his full-time gig with Kelly Ripa, Live with Kelly and Ryan. So we'll see how that goes. I'm interested to see what happens. And I want to know if you're going to be watching this new relaunch of American Idol on ABC. Call in here on Anchor or tweet me at Caleb Graham and let me know what you think. And here's some more news for you out of Walt Disney World. The Disney Parks blog reported yesterday that some of the newly renovated area of Disney's Hollywood Studios will soon be opening to guests in the fall. The area around the Muppets Courtyard and an area of Streets of America that was saved will soon be known as Grand Avenue. Now, a quote from the Disney Parks blog says, "Muppets Courtyard, along with a portion of the former Streets of America, is being reimagined by Walt Disney Imagineering to become a new area called Grand Avenue. Inspired by the revitalization and the vibrant culture of present-day downtown Los Angeles, Grand Avenue is where vintage office buildings and warehouses are being converted to exciting new uses. Guests will soon see facades for merchants appearing in this area for a music shop, loft apartments, a tailor, and more, with each window on the street featuring charming displays." And again, that quote was from the Disney Parks blog. I think that those windows that they're talking about most likely are the little strip that they kept of Streets of America, which, if you know anything about Disney's Hollywood Studios, if you were walking down Commissary Lane towards Star Tours and took a right right there to go onto the Streets of America, there was like a drugstore on the corner, and then you moved around and it was kind of an apartment building. It went on down to a facade of a subway station, New York, because that was New York Street. So I think that because that whole section of buildings is still there, it's been repainted. It looks, from what we can see over the construction wall, it has been repainted, I should say. So I have a feeling that that's probably where those windows are going to be. So that's exciting news. Also, there's going to be a new food and beverage location called Baseline Tap. And in the article, it says that it, quote, takes over a former F&B location, which most likely was the Writer's Stop, which was the little coffee shop that was on the corner that had coffee and snacks and books and things like that. It was one of my favorite places in the park. I'm still so sad that it's gone, but I'm glad that it's going to be reused into something new. They will be serving beer and wine native to California, as well as different snacks, so that should be exciting. And then the Muppets Courtyard will be renamed and be known from there on as Grand Park, featuring the new Pizza Rizzo restaurant and Mama Melrose as well, which is the Italian restaurant there towards the back. And there also are some shops and stuff in that area. And then the theater that houses Muppet Vision 3D currently has been renamed the Grand Arts Theater to go along with that Grand Avenue theming. They've put a new marquee up there, and that has replaced the previous Muppet Vision 3D sign. So, exciting stuff. It's really cool that we finally are going to get some of Hollywood Studios back, as it's been gone for quite some time now since they closed that whole section of the park last year. And it's exciting stuff. I'd love to hear your thoughts if you're a Disney Parks goer. Call in here on Anchor or tweet me at Caleb Graham. Let me know what you think. George, Jane, Judy, and Elroy. Rosie, Astro, ring a bell? Who else would those names belong to but the Jetsons? ABC seems to be in a revival period, as they have ordered a live-action TV pilot of the classic 1960s TV cartoon, The Jetsons. It's going to be produced by Warner Brothers Television, along with Campari Entertainment and Nickelby Incorporated, and they have ordered this pilot to air. So, don't know who's going to be in it, don't know when it's going to be on, but you know what? I will say this is something that I could get behind. It's going to be set 100 years in the future of where we are now. So basically 100 years from now is the kind of time period they're going to set this in. And I think this has the potential to be something really fun if people will get behind it. Now we'll see what they do as far as tone, if it's going to be more of a comedy, fun type of thing like the cartoon was, or if it's going to be a more serious dramedy kind of thing. I'm interested to see how that will play out, but it could be fun, and we'll definitely keep you posted right here on The Mix on this one as we learn more. Hi there, welcome back. So I have done something new thus far with today's episode of The Mix. Up until the current segment that I'm talking on, I tried out recording my audio on a different source and adding it into the Clipper tool on the Anchor website, and I really like it. I've got to say, it's nice to be able to add the attribution to articles that I read for my news topics. I also wanted to try out to see the difference in the sound of the audio as well, between recording it. I actually did still record it on my phone. I used the voice recorder app, the Apple app that comes with the phone, as well as a microphone that I had plugged into my phone. I used that as well. So I'm gonna wanted to try out, kind of just play around and see what the differences were, if they sounded any different, or one sounded better than the other, or the same, or whatnot. So let me know what you think. Give me a call in and we'll start a conversation about it. So I want to take a little bit of time on this episode to talk about the state of journalism. Now, a couple of days ago, I posed the question to the Anchor community, and it was, what is your thoughts on the current state of journalism today?
or what are your thoughts on the state of journalism today, something like that. And I waited a couple days to see if I would get any response, and I did. I got one call in, so I am very grateful for that. I want to say thanks to Jessica for this call in. I'm going to share it in just a second. But I kind of was looking for people's thoughts on the way that journalism is put out there, the way that the news is put out there, the way that people are reporting the news now, and things like that. So I want to play you what Jessica had to say, and then I'll share some thoughts as well.
Hey, Caleb, I did catch your question the other day when you asked what we think about the state of journalism. So I'm really glad that you brought that back to the forefront today. Now that people are more settled heading into the weekend, to dive into that concept. So, you know, I think that there are, first of all, there's some fantastic, unbelievable journalists out there who really take what they do seriously. And then I think there are others out there who are also great. Yet the pressure of being entertaining, the pressure of being popular is so heavy that they have now become more of personalities versus journalists. And I think it's sad.
And that was Jessica from Impactfully Jessica here on Anchor. Jessica, thank you so much for that call, and I definitely agree with you. There are, like you said, some fantastic journalists. I see them all the time. You can watch certain shows and you can tell when someone is really sharing the facts, the news, versus when someone is just giving an opinion or talking about what they think about something that happened. Which gets into your second thought about people being great, but they're not really there to give the news, they're there to talk about the news and kind of share their opinions and be entertaining and things like that. And I recently have been taking some classes online that are called MOOCs. They are massive online open courses, and it's so that I can, while I'm on a hiatus from school, which that's a whole nother show, whole nother topic as to why that is, but anyway. Since I'm not able to be in school right now, so I'm doing what I can do on my own to learn more about the journalism field and the career that I want to go into, which is part of why I'm doing this podcast. And throughout those courses that I have taken, I have learned that journalism is becoming more and more of this, you know, opinionated talk show kind of thing instead of just news. And you also have the different sides of news. You have the political stuff. So you have like certain organizations that are more conservative. You have certain organizations that are more liberal. And so it's getting to where people don't really know what they're listening to or what to believe, because you have two different things saying that it's the truth. And so you have multiple truths. And for me personally, I want to just know the truth. You know, I don't want to know the truth from the way one side sees it and the way another side sees it. I just want to know the truth. I want to see an impartial view of something. And that's really what true journalism is. One of the courses that I took was a video series by Dan Rather. And I have a quote from that video series that I want to read here, because it kind of sums it all up. It was in a module that was called The Politicalization of News, and the quote was, and this is from Dan Rather, quote, "The main voice that's challenging the continued ability of the news to speak truth to power is the public's perception of just what news is and what it should be." So I loved that, because it's like I was saying, it's getting to a point where people don't really know what the truth is. They don't know which truth to believe, because you have multiple ones. Another example he used to that was the election from last year, 2016. You had journalists who didn't know what to report, because you would hear one thing from one person, then you'd hear something completely different from the other person, and both of them were claiming that it was true. So it's getting to be complicated, long story short. So part of what my job is, I feel like, as an aspiring journalist, is to kind of get to the bottom of this and maybe even start a movement of journalists, people that truly have a passion for people, because in my mind, that's what you have to have. You have to have a passion for people, a passion for getting the truth out there to people, and you have to love people. Journalists are public servants. We have a public service to perform, and that public service is to find the truth, the closest that we can find of the truth, what we believe is the truth, and from research and reporting and interviewing, all the different steps, get to the bottom of it and then report that. Any side, every side, all of it, be fair, don't be partial, be impartial, because that's when you really get to the truth. That's when you find the truth and you get it out there to people, and that's what it's supposed to be all about. If you're listening, I would love to hear your thoughts on what I just said, and also on Jessica's call if you listened to it. And the topic is the state of journalism today. What do you think of it? What do you think journalism is in your mind, and what do you think it should be? I would love to hear your thoughts, so please give me a call in and let me hear from you. Do you like my show? I am now available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, as well as Google Play Music, and of course on the Anchor app. That's all the places you can find the mix. I would very much love to get some people involved here. I want some of you to jump into the mix with me. Do you have something to say? Let this be a place for voices to sound off, to be heard, to talk, whatever. It's always more fun, in my mind, when it's a conversation with friends. So here's how you can get involved. Reach out to me on social media, okay? I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Caleb Graham. I am on Facebook at Caleb Graham TV. I have a website that really needs to be updated, but until I do, you can check it out too, CalebGrahamTV.com. And you can always call in on the Anchor app and leave me a message as well. I would like to thank all of the Anchor users and listeners who interact with me every day and applaud my station. I'm at over 1,000 applause now, which is so great. Thank you guys all so much. Thanks to everyone who listens on iTunes and Google Play as well. I hope that, you know, I can continue to make the mix better and better as I learn more and more every day and throughout this endeavor. So I always love feedback, so I would love that as well. Send it on in. Before I close out for the week, I want to let you know that Matt Ridge will be back on Monday to talk some Star Wars again with me, and I will once again, over the next couple of days, be trying out different things to decide really what I want to do here on the weekends, or with the weekends on Anchor. So we'll just see how that goes. We'll play it by ear. How about that? And I want to leave you today with a tweet from Archie Comics. It says, "Have a good weekend. Read some comics. Watch your favorite show. Be nice to one another. Stop arguing about pineapple pizza. Bye." They sure do. They know how to have fun over there at the Archie Comics Twitter. I always get a laugh out of them. I hope that you all are able to go into your weekend with a smile. And until next time, add something new to the mix. Bye-bye.